Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We are on the air for Fan for Racing with Catch Fence NASCAR Weekend Preview. And this is for Chase Race number 4. The Sprint Cup Series will be at their home track of Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend, along with the Xfinity Series, who will be racing out there this weekend. So that should be a lot of fun to talk about. The Camping World Truck Series is going to be on break. They will be returning to action at Talladega on the 24th. And we may get a chance here to talk a little bit about the Winchester 400 to kind of let everybody know that that's taking place this weekend as well. And with me tonight is Kyle Pokrovsky, and he is going to be my partner tonight as we do our NASCAR weekend preview. So welcome to the show, Kyle.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, we're really happy that you're able to be able to make it. Brian Eberle was going to be on the show with us, and he had something come up at the last minute and was not able to be here. So I'm really glad that we had you on the schedule for tonight, Kyle. And then also, we're hoping there's a lot of things still going on at the track out at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And Chris, of course, is right there keeping track of what's going on. He's hoping he'll be able to call in with an update at some point during our show. So stay tuned for an update from Chris right from Charlotte Motor Speedway. And he may have a bit of breaking news for us as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, another activity that took place just a little bit ago at Charlotte Motor Speedway was the Better Half Dash. And Shannon Cott, Cook won that race, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's I believe a charity event they run. I think it may be in, I forgot the proper term, it might be Bandoleros, but it's a nice little charity race they have going on featuring the girlfriends and spouses of current NASCAR drivers. And
yeah, there were, go ahead.
Oh, no. I had a thought going, then it kind of just fizzled out mid-sentence, though.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to give an idea of some of the better halves that were in the race today. Shannon Koch took the first place. She is the wife of driver Blake Koch. Caitlin Sweet, the girlfriend for Kyle Larson, came in second. Tandra Greenfield, wife of driver Clay Greenfield, was third. Jordan Fish, girlfriend of Denny Hamlin, finished fourth. Kristen Yaley, wife of driver J.J. Yaley, finished fifth. Tatiana Pappas, the wife of driver Max Pappas, finished sixth. Ashley Deal Stremme finished seventh, the wife of driver David Stremme. Melanie Self, she is the Motor Racing Outreach Community Center Coordinator. She finished eighth. Jenna Robinson, the wife of the number 19 tire changer, Clay Robinson, finished ninth. Whitney K. Scott, wife of Brian Scott, finished 10th. And Wendy Venderini, the NASCAR reporter and wife of JGR Director of Track Operations, Jared Egert, finished 11th. So there were quite a few people participating in that event tonight.
Yeah, I was actually also going to make mention that Wendy Venturini is also a member of the very famous Venturini family from the ARCA ranks, and I believe her brother Billy was her spotter for the event. So she has racing in her genes, but yes, 11th place was it.
Yeah, she and her husband is the director of track operations out at Joe Gibbs Racing. So Wendy is very well connected within the NASCAR community and the ARCA Racing Series, as you mentioned, as part of the Venturini family. So, and we're both from the Chicago area. The Venturinis actually started in that Chicagoland area. So that's a team that we're pretty familiar with.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So just to kind of keep everybody up to date with what happened there, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit. And depending on how things go here, if Chris calls in and whatever, we might get done early, in which case we may bring up some of the hot topics that are taking place right now. And some of the news items that are taking place right now, depending on when and if Chris calls in. But let's go ahead and talk about the Camping World Truck Series first. I want to just mention they are not going to be on track this weekend. They will be on track Saturday, October the 24th at Talladega Super Speedway. So fans will need to stay tuned for more Camping World Truck Series activities. On the weekend of the 24th. As far as the Xfinity Series, we have two night races this weekend. They're the only night races for the Sprint Cup Series during the chase. But the Xfinity Series is also racing, but they're racing on Saturday nights, it's saying here. Is that right? Is it Saturday night or Friday night?
I think it might be Friday.
That looks like it could be a typo. Because I thought it was Friday night.
Friday for the cup. I think cup's on Saturday, so I would say that Xfinity would be tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be tomorrow night. Friday night, October the 9th. They do have the correct date there. It will be on NBCSN starting at 7:30 p.m. with pre-race conversation with a green flag dropping probably around 8 p.m. They will race 200 laps or a total of 300 miles. It is the Drive for the Cure 300 presented by Group Blue Cross Blue Shield. So I read a tidbit today that was a little bit surprising to me, and that is that JR Motorsports, I don't know why it was surprising, but in the last 14 races, they posted more points than any of the other drivers. The top three are Regan Smith with 516 points, Chase Elliott with 509, and Chris Buescher with 490. Chris, of course, the overall is the points leader, but that's kind of an interesting stat there.
Yeah, JR Motorsports has definitely started to find their speed. We've had Regan Smith in the last 2 months. He's won at both Mid-Ohio and he's a past winner at Dover this past weekend. And we also had Chase Elliott, a winner at Richmond just several weeks ago. It does seem that they've found their speed and they're starting to pick up the pace on all sorts of tracks, even on the mile and a half where they were struggling throughout the year. But it's still going to be a tough task to catch Chris Buescher after Dover. He still has a 24-point lead over Chase Elliott and a 36-point lead over Regan Smith. I think there may be about I think there's five races left. It's just going to be incredibly tough to catch the 60. But as you mentioned, with those points tallies, JR Motorsports, they have a speed now.
Yeah, it seems like they're coming on pretty strong into the last five races here. And we'll, of course, have to tune in to see what actually happens in these next five races. But Buescher has been in command of those points at the top of the list for drivers for 19 straight races. So he's done a really good job of maintaining that points lead.
Yeah, and now, it was a two-horse race with it was a three-horse race. There was Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, and Ty Dillon. But after Ty's flat tire that sent him into the wall at Dover, it might just be a two-horse race now because Regan was always kind of, floating around in fourth or fifth in points. Not within striking distance, but he was there. And he's still
I think he's moved up now.
Oh yeah, he's up to third. He's 3 points ahead of Ty Dillon for third, but 36 points, that's still nearly a full race back. So
yeah,
he's going to need some major help. He's going to need some misfortune to befall the 60 team, as does Chase Elliott.
Yes, I would agree. Right now, Chris Buescher is certainly in command. He is 18 plus 6. He is 24 points, ahead of his next challenger, which is Chase Elliott. So he definitely, it's his to lose at this point, the way I look at it. And I think Chris Buescher will hold his own. If he wins, he will give Roush Fenway Racing their fifth NASCAR Xfinity Series championship. The previous four champions for Roush Fenway were Greg Biffle in 2002, Carl Edwards in 2007, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. won in 2011 and 2012. So it's been since 2012 the last time they had a champion in the Xfinity Series. So this would be huge for the Roush Fenway organization.
Yeah, and another thing to realize is that Chris Buescher, he's a former champion of the ARCA Racing Series, so as being the driver in the points lead currently, he should know, as I mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, he is a very smart and methodical race car driver, and he knows how to, get this done. And with that past experience in ARCA Racing Series, he should be able to preserve the lead through the next five races. Now, when you look at Chase Elliott, who had the defending Xfinity Series champion, he wasn't really in this position in second place last year. I mean, I think he took the lead of the championship standings about halfway through, and he just held it from there on out. He didn't really do much chasing for the title, but he was more defending. Now that he's in the second place position, it's going to be interesting to see how he reacts in these final five races.
That is so true. And actually, that's not the only competition that's going on throughout the point standings, because you've got two teammates with Elliott Sadler and Darrell Wallace Jr. that are kind of really close in points as well. And, they're really pushing for that fifth place in points. And Darrell Wallace has been coming on strong in his last several races. And he's still got a ways to go to catch up with Daniel Suarez in the Rookie of the Year battle. But there are other competitions that are taking place within the series, is what my point is.
Yeah, there's definitely that. And as you mentioned, Dale's definitely been coming into his own the last few races. It seems that a crew chief swap between the number 6 and number 16 team has really paid off for him. I think he just grabbed his career best at Chicago, and he's been having strong results at Kentucky and at Dover. And when you look at that battle, you mentioned Elliott Sadler and Dale Wallace Jr., but Daniel Suarez, he's only 21 points, or I should say 22 points, behind Sadler for fifth. And with the form he showcased as late, he can make this a three-car battle for the fifth-place position.
Sure could. Yeah, I totally agree with you. He was going pretty strong. He seems to have had a couple of races here that maybe weren't up to par, but I don't count Daniel Suarez out yet. I think he's going to continue to impress, and I think we'll see more from him before the season is out, including a potential win.
Certainly could happen. He's definitely showcased the speed, and if he gets another crack to the Xfinity Series next year, if he hasn't won by next year, he'll definitely pick off a win during the next season.
Yeah, I really look for big things from him. And I hope he doesn't go through what they call the sophomore slump, because I just see him as he's a student of the sport. He studies what happens out there on the track, and I really think that is going to benefit him next season as well.
true. And he is with Joe Gibbs Racing, so even if he's in a slump in that equipment, he could still win a race.
Yeah, I agree. Joe Gibbs Racing is pretty darn strong right now in both the Xfinity as well as the Sprint Cup Series. You're right. And there's a big owner's battle that's taking place between Team Penske and Joe Gibbs Racing as well.
It's really between the Team Penske number 22 entry and Joe Gibbs Racing number 54 entry. I expect Kyle Busch to complete the season for the 54, and I'm not sure as to what the schedule for the 22 would be for the remaining five races. I know Brad Keselowski's in the car this weekend, but he should be sharing the ride with both Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano, and all three of those guys have the talent that they can bring home the owner's title. I think they're the defending winners for maybe several years in a row. I have them as the favorite to take on that title again.
Yeah, if they win again this year, it would be the third title for Roger Penske in as many years. So they're the team definitely to beat. If Gibbs were to surpass Penske in the closing five races, it would give Gibbs his fourth title, and he would then hold the record for all-time series owner championships. So that's something to really, you know, keep your eye on there between what's happening between Roger Penske's organization and Joe Gibbs' organization in the Xfinity Series.
Yep, it's just, you know, with this few races left in the season, it just may be an insurmountable deficit for the 54 to overcome.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Now let's take a look at who's racing this weekend. Who are your top three to keep an eye on this weekend, and your race favorite, the one to win?
Well, taking a look at the past history here at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Xfinity Series, you got to go all the way back to 2009 to see the last time a non-Cup driver won this race.
Mm-hmm.
And the results leading up to this weekend have all been mixed. I mean, Joe Gibbs Racing's had some wins. Team Penske's had some wins. Even the, you know, Turner Scott, which is now H. Scott Motorsports, they've had a win. Even RCR. And you still have your fair share of Cup drivers in the field this weekend. And I think you have to look at the obvious picks of Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch, as those are two of my favorites. But then I'm also going to put in Eric Jones as my third, because he won at Texas earlier in the year, and he did that in the field with Cup drivers. So I got him as my third. In terms of a winner out of those three, I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of leaning the same way. I think it's going to be a Sprint Cup Series driver, and I know we always try to avoid picking a Sprint Cup Series driver. Sprint Cup driver that's going to be in this race, though, is Casey Kane. And we know Casey Kane is really good at Charlotte Motor Speedway, so he could be a factor this weekend as well. I don't know. I'm kind of torn, because I think Regan Smith has been coming on pretty strong. Coming off of that win, I think Regan Smith may be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He says he hasn't given up on contending for that championship, and he's going to try to garner as many points as he possibly can in these next five races. So I say he's one of the guys you need to keep your eye on this weekend. And Brian Scott has had a lot of things happening to him this year. Brian Scott wants to make something happen before the season ends. He may be another driver to really keep your eye on this weekend. So those are some other ones that I would add to the list of drivers to keep your eyes on. I agree with all of the picks that Kyle gave you. And that it probably, because Kurt Busch is, or I'm sorry, Kyle Busch is in this race this weekend as well. And I think it's going to be between, you know, if I'm picking a non Sprint Cup Series driver, I too would pick Eric Jones. But I'm going to pick Kyle Busch to be the winner at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend, just because it's so hard for these Xfinity Series drivers to beat the Sprint Cup guys at tracks like Charlotte Motor Speedway.
And when it does happen, like we saw what happened with Chase Elliott last year in Texas and Darlington, when it happens, it's a really big moment. And I think Kyle Busch has said as much last year. So if you're able to beat the Cup guys in the Xfinity Series, you're pretty much strapping yourself onto the rocket ship towards NASCAR superstardom.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, if you were to pick a dark horse, who's your dark horse pick?
My dark horse, I would have to go with Chase Elliott. He hasn't. It's kind of weird picking the defending champion, you know, as a dark horse. But as I mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, junior motorsports are kind of lacking a little bit on the mile and a half. But I think they showed me at Kentucky they do have some speed again. Probably not as much as Joe Gibbs Racing stable, but they have enough to contend. And we all know Chase is eyeing that second consecutive Xfinity Series title. And we're getting to the point where, you know, it's getting down nitty-gritty, and he's going to need another win to throw a chip into that points lead. And what better week to do it, you know, in NASCAR's backyard?
Okay. I think that's a great pick. That's certainly one of the people that I was thinking of as a dark horse winner, too. But I'm going to put Daniel Suarez's name out there as a dark horse pick. Daniel is returning back to Charlotte Motor Speedway. That's not something he's been able to say a lot this season, because most of the tracks he's been racing on, it's the first time he's raced at those tracks. But he started 19th and finished 6th place in his debut at the track earlier this year. So I think Daniel Suarez could surprise a lot of folks. And I know we've been saying this for several weeks now, but I just expect him to get a win before the season is out. And Charlotte Motor Speedway could certainly be that track. So I'm going to put Daniel Suarez's name out there as my dark horse pick for this weekend. All right. So anything else you want to talk about with regard to the Xfinity Series at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend?
Nothing particularly that crosses my mind. All I know of note is that both, I believe, Chase Elliott and Eric Jones are going to be trying to do a double this weekend. Not going to be doing, you know, the usual Xfinity Sprint Cup Series double, but both Eric and Chase will be heading over to Winchester, Indiana to run the Winchester 400, as you were mentioning at the top of the show.
Yes, and that is on Sunday, so we will talk about that. Well, let's go ahead and talk about that now, the Winchester 400. That's going to be the ARCA CRA Series, Super Series, that's going to be racing. It's the 44th annual Winchester 400 that will run at 2 p.m. on Sunday, October the 11th. So a lot of these guys that are racing in Charlotte this weekend on Friday will be heading to Winchester, Indiana. And there are quite a few of the NASCAR guys that will be in this event. NASCAR and ARCA guys, Travis Braden is going to be in this race. Cody Coughlin is a name familiar to a lot of the fans. Dalton Armstrong, I believe he's the younger brother of Dakota Armstrong. Eric Jones is going to be racing. Daniel Hemric from ARCA and from the Camping World Truck Series will be in that race. Chase Elliott. Harrison Burton, the son of Jeff Burton, is going to be racing the Winchester 400, as is Mark Lambert. And I believe he may be some relation to Luke Lambert, who is the crew chief for Ryan Newman. So that's another name to kind of keep your eye out. Bubba Pollard, a lot of folks know Bubba Pollard as a big racer in the Modified Series. Let's see, I'm going down there. Christopher Bell, another name very familiar to NASCAR fans from Norman, Oklahoma. He's going to be in the race this weekend. Ross Kenseth, the son of Matt Kenseth, will be in this race, as will Mason Mingus, who's raced in the ARCA Series as well as the Camping World Truck Series. J.J. Haley, who is a Can-Am East driver from H. Scott Motorsports, is going to be racing this weekend in the number 99 car. So there's quite a few names that fans are familiar with that are going to be in this event, Kyle.
Certainly. It's almost kind of like a who's who of NASCAR's young guns.
It really is. So I know a lot of fans, and Brian, who was unable to call into the show tonight, he is going to be out there this weekend. So if you want to follow him, he'll be at the track and will be able to give you updates throughout the weekend of what's happening for the Winchester 400 with regard to practices and qualifying and so forth. Also, Speed 51 will cover the race live at the Winchester 400, so you can follow live at speed51.com as well. And again, that should be about 2 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, October the 11th.
And I won't be there this weekend, but just speaking as someone who was at Winchester Speedway earlier in the year for the ARCA Racing Series, folks, if you're not at Winchester Speedway this weekend, please tune in on Speed 51. I'm telling you, the racing action at Winchester Speedway is just absolutely amazing. Imagine it's a pre-repaved Bristol where you're running on the low line, except you can also run on the high line. It's like that, on steroids. You have to watch this race. It's going to be incredible.
I agree with you. And if you are anywhere near Winchester, Indiana, if you can get out to the track, I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, I think it's about just like an hour east of Indianapolis, about.
Just to give you an idea of where that track is. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to find out who wins the Winchester 400 this season. Excuse me, my throat's getting dry, and I apologize. Okay, I do believe we are ready to move on to the Sprint Cup Series and cover the fourth race of the chase. We've been through the first elimination round. Some big surprises in who we lost, including Jimmy Johnson, that is not moving on to that next round. Kevin Harvick threw the Hail Mary pass and came up with a win at Dover International Speedway last weekend. So he is advancing and continues now to be one of the favorites to win the championship. So a lot of interesting things going into this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah, all I was thinking was, coming out of Dover, I'm thinking, if Kevin Harvick manages to win this race, you know, the other 11 guys in the chase after Dover are just going to be kicking themselves, saying, this was our chance to, you know, get rid of probably the most dominant guy outside of that Gibbs stable. And they blew it. Now they're, Harvick's back in it.
Kyle Busch made a statement to that regard. He said, we were kind of hoping he wouldn't make it into this next round because they do see him as their toughest competition. And we all know that Joe Gibbs Racing, including Kyle Busch, has been coming on really strong in the races leading up to the chase and for the first three races of the chase. And now we go to Charlotte Motor Speedway, Kyle, and guess who's the defending race winner at Charlotte? None other than Joe Gibbs Racing, Carl Edwards. He wants to sweep this weekend.
And he's had a really good knack at winning, you know, the toughest races of the year, you know, say the Daytona 500, but was the winner in the longest race of the year, the Coca-Cola 600, and in perhaps the most demanding race of the year, the Southern 500, just a few weeks ago. And then low downforce package didn't make it any easier on those guys. So when it comes to these really physically demanding races, he's the guy to beat. Except, you know, with the race being 500 miles this week, it might put everyone back on equal footing with him.
That's a very good point. You know what else I'm wondering, Kyle? I wonder if maybe this isn't one of those race weekends that we might see a non-chase driver come up with the win.
It's possible, especially when, you know, Jimmy Johnson now out of the running for the title. Charlotte has been Jimmy Johnson's, you know, go-to track for winning outside of Dover the last several years. So if any chase non-chase driver is going to win, it's probably going to be Jimmy Johnson this weekend.
And I think Casey Kane could be one of those guys, too. I know this hasn't been one of his best seasons, but Casey Kane has been known to do really well at Charlotte as well.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Casey's done very well here. It's just, and as you also mentioned, it just hasn't been his year. I just can't picture him being a threat for this weekend, unfortunately, to say.
Okay. Yeah, what about Kyle Larson? Because I've been saying all chase season that I think Kyle Larson could be one of the non-chase winners at several points throughout this chase.
He certainly could, but, you know, I think the number 42 team has taken a bit of a step backwards this year. And last year, and even early into this year, Kyle Larson was saying, you know, the mile and a half, he's going to, you know, these are his strongest tracks. If he's going to get his first win anyway, it's probably going to be on one of these. But he just hasn't shown the overall pace that he showed, you know, last year when it came to the chase. And
I will say, if we watch him, though, he has been one of the highest finishing non-chase drivers for the first three races anyway.
Yeah, that is true. He is coming off of a ninth-place run at Dover. So really we'll have to see if he'll contend at Charlotte, but I wouldn't really expect it to happen.
Oh, okay. And that's great. That's what this is all about, is getting, you know, everybody's perspective on it. But if I were going to pick a dark horse non-chaser, that might be the driver I would pick. But I do think Johnson, now that he's got the pressure off of him and he's not contending for the championship, do you think he'll want to make a statement by winning at Charlotte?
Yeah, he certainly will. I mean, he really has nothing to lose now. The highest championship position he could grab in the standings is fifth. So, you know, might as well go out guns a-blazing.
Okay. Okay, and now let's talk about Team Penske. You've got Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano from that organization. They are, for the second straight season, in this contender round, the second round of the chase. What do you see for them going into Charlotte this weekend?
I think Charlotte and Kansas should be two really good racetracks for Team Penske. Even possibly Talladega, considering Joey Logano won at Daytona this year, and I believe Brad Keselowski is the defending winner of the fall Talladega race. But as Brad said last year, you know, the contender round schedule, which remains the same as last year, Charlotte, Kansas, Talladega, this schedule scares the you-know-what out of him, because you're going to see a bunch of drivers trying to get the best finishes they can at Charlotte and Kansas to avoid, you know, being under any pressure at all at Talladega, because Talladega is really the great equalizer. Your chase is either going to get made or it's going to be broken at Talladega. So
absolutely,
I think it's potentially going to be good at all three of those tracks.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that a lot of these drivers, a lot of the chase drivers are going to be doing everything they can to take the pressure off of themselves and their team by getting a win at either Charlotte or Kansas before they ever get to Talladega, because everybody knows what a big wild card Talladega can be. And I definitely think Team Penske, both of those drivers definitely fall into that category. They want those wins at Kansas and Charlotte. So look for them to be big contenders. Dale Jr. kind of showed us this last weekend, too, how important those win bonuses were to him as he tied Jamie McMurray at Dover. And having those bonus points really were a benefit to him in breaking, you know, in breaking that tie. Not necessarily breaking the tie, but having him in the points position to be able to tie Jamie McMurray. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and Dale Jr., he kind of had, you know, the challenger round. I expect him to have, you know, really quiet, probably not contending for wins. But it was a bit surprising seeing how Hendrick Motorsports did during the challenger round. As we saw, Jimmy Johnson has now been eliminated. But I don't think that both Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon showed the pace that I expected them to have. They had enough to transfer into the contender round, but they're both, you know, running very tight and coming very close to elimination following Dover.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, I saw a stat here, too. Dale Jr. finished third at Dover, Charlotte. He finished third at Kansas the last time there, and he finished first at Talladega. Those are the next three races that they're up against. And I know we're talking different time of the year. Things are a little bit different. He had good finishes there earlier this season, but that doesn't necessarily translate to good finishes this time around, right?
Well, it might because, you know, earlier this year he was still trying to gel with the new crew chief, Greg Ives, now that they've had, you know, over a season, half a season together. Now that chemistry should have been built up. And as you mentioned, he did win at Talladega earlier this year, and he also did win the Coke Zero 400. So he's the winner of the last two restrictor plate races. As we know, Talladega is a bit of a wild card, but one thing's for certain at Talladega, you're always going to see Dale Jr. contend. And, you know, we saw in the early 2000s just how dominant he was at that track when he was with Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. And used to be known, you know, as the Pied Piper of Daytona and Talladega, and I think he's reclaimed that status. So he should be, his performances in these next three races should be better than what they were in the challenger round. The contender round schedule should be very favorable to that number 88 team.
Yeah, and I was reading earlier today, too, that the, you know, with Jimmy Johnson having a parts failure at Dover, the Hendrick organization has said they're going to do everything they possibly can to ensure that there are no more parts failures for Dale Earnhardt Jr. or Gordon for the remainder of their chase days.
Yeah, it truly is. You know, in times like this, especially with this new chase format, once one driver falls out, you can dedicate more resources to the other teams. It just really shows how much of a team sport this really is. But, you know, that 48 team, they've been on it, you know, over a decade. So to see a parts failure from them is incredibly rare. It's, you know, just sometimes stuff breaks. That's, you know, the long and short of it. You don't really plan for it, and they don't really, you know, intend on bringing faulty parts to the track. It's just, you know, sometimes the nature of the beast in this sport.
Unfortunately. But it's good that they're putting that extra effort toward double-checking those parts. And there's so many parts, I don't know how they're going to double-check every little thing. But at least they're putting an extra effort toward the cars for their chase contenders. And now, we talked a little bit about how Edwards is going for a back-to-back sweep. But it was Matt Kenseth who took the pole earlier today for Joe Gibbs Racing. What do you think of the chances for Joe Gibbs at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend?
I think, well, Charlotte used to be, you know, Hendrick Motorsports' go-to place for getting wins. But considering the pace they've shown, you know, since the in these last few quarters of the season, and in today's qualifying, you have to look at Joe Gibbs Racing as the favorite for the weekend. But the question is, you know, which Joe Gibbs Racing driver will be the one to pull in the victory lane.
Yeah, because, you know, Denny Hamlin was the guy who won the All-Star race there, and then Edwards won the Coca-Cola 600, both Joe Gibbs Racing drivers. So those are your most recent winners at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And, again, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll come back as strong, but I'm guessing that when they went into those races, they went into those races to learn what they can use when they come back in the chase at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, that's, you have to think of that as strategy-wise when it comes to tracks that are on the calendar twice on the in the Sprint Cup schedule, and with those tracks that are in the chase, I do think some guys, they tried doing some experimenting early in the season to see what will work come chase time. So we'll see if they learned anything from back in May and we'll apply it to this weekend.
Absolutely. So we'll have to all tune in. Just as a reminder, and we'll talk about Harvick after this because Harvick is certainly a big part of this discussion. But the Sprint Cup Series will be racing the Bank of America 500 at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Saturday night, October the 10th. And that is, they're saying both the race time and the green flag time at 7 p.m. on NBC. So that's on regular TV, NBC. They are racing 501 miles for 334 laps. Let's get to Harvick, because Harvick kind of blew the lid off at Dover International Speedway after not winning there over the last 29 races that he's raced there. In his 30th event, he won in a big, big way. He dominated that race and won. There was a little bit of discussion, though, this week about the burnout that he did and the fact that he hit his the rear end of his car on the wall doing the burnouts. I find it rather interesting that several drivers have said that it's been going on for quite some time now, that drivers are kind of hiding any aerodynamic, any advantages they may have on their car with the burnouts that they do with their victories. Let's talk about Kevin Harvick kind of coming off of that information and all that conversation from this week.
Yeah, personally, I don't really buy into the whole, you know, oh, he must have, you know, hit the wall because he's trying to hide something. It's just really, you know, the 14, they've just been that strong this entire year where they've shown they can dominate races, you know, even though they haven't won as much as they did last year, but they've shown that they definitely had the pace to do so. Also, I don't, you know, think this is the first time I've heard of a driver knocking the wall down during their burnout at Dover. I think Greg Biffle won a race there a couple years ago, and I was watching his burnout on live TV, and he did a donut, and he ended up accidentally backing into the wall and bit, you know, on the front straight. So it might just be a bit of, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to describe it, but it just might be a whole lot of, you know, nothing being kicked around.
Well, and I've seen a couple different articles on it. Tom Jensen, I think, wrote a really nice article just saying that, you know, that is part of the sport, number one. But he's saying, you know, look at all the times that Harvick came in second. He wasn't doing burnouts. His car, as one of the top three cars in those races, went to the NASCAR's R&D center and have passed those inspections. As he did this weekend at Dover, after, you know, hitting the wall, the car's been taken to the R&D center and did pass post-race inspection. So, you know, so he's had a lot of times there that he has passed the inspection process that NASCAR has put into place. But I and part of the thing that I think that we're seeing in these discussions is some gamesmanship, if you will, between the Joe Gibbs Racing drivers, who have been pretty vocal about those possibilities, and Team Penske, who are the competitors, the strongest competitors to Harvick going into this chase. So I think, you know, one way to take the eyes off of what you're doing is to focus everybody's eyes on what somebody else is doing. And I think that's kind of what part of this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, as I wasn't able to actually watch the race on Sunday, but, you know, I was following along on Twitter from work. And once I saw that Harvick won, I actually said out loud, I'm like, oh, you fools, this was your one chance to get rid of him. And I think I said that at the top of the show. So it might just be a lot of people maybe voicing their frustration at having the number four advance the contender round. It could just be, you know, a lot of pent-up frustration coming out, and that's maybe where these accusations are coming from.
Yep, but I've got a feeling it's not the last we're going to hear from the Chase competitors as they talk about their competitors throughout the rest of this chase. So I think that's only, you know, more of the story that is evolving in the 2015 season here.
It's definitely been one incredible and interesting chase. You know, we've had the Harvick-Johnson shenanigans out of Chicago, and now we've got, what are we going to call it, burnout? What are we going to call it, Donut Gate? Donut Gate out of Dover. Now we got that. You know, we've got 7 races left in the chase. This is just the tip of the iceberg. We're about to see everything hit, you know, maximum overdrive here in terms of drama.
I would totally agree, Kyle. I think we're in for more as the chase continues here. Jamie McMurray, just a kind of a word to the on some news that happened here, is mourning the death of his niece. I believe her name is Lauren Montez, who passed away on Sunday. A lot of people will recognize that name as Jamie McMurray's niece, who had autism that inspired Jamie to do so much for the Autism Foundations. It's a bit of sad news, I think, for the NASCAR community.
Yeah, truly a sad loss for Jamie and his family and friends, and our thoughts and the thoughts of the NASCAR community is with them at this time.
That is so true, and anytime something like this happens, it does seem that we all come together to be supportive. So our thoughts and prayers are certainly there as well. So, okay, with that, who is your race winner for this weekend?
Race winner, oi. Well, I'm going to narrow it down to 4 drivers. I'm going to narrow it down to the Joe Gibbs Racing bunch. But really, I should just, you know, I should have, like, drew a picture and labeled them with, you know, all the driver numbers. Just throwing a dart at it, and that would have been my pick. But after his pole win today, I'm going to have to go with Matt Kenseth.
Okay, I think that's a good pick. I think Matt Kenseth is an excellent pick, especially with his pole win this weekend. And it's so hard to not pick a Joe Gibbs Racing driver because they have been so strong. They've won like 10 of the last 14 races that have been won. So it's kind of hard to pick against them. But I just have a feeling, and I could be wrong, but I think there could be a Team Penske win this weekend. And I think those are two drivers to definitely keep your eye on, Joey Logano or Brad Keselowski. And I think they are motivated by the fact that they do not want to go into Talladega without a win at Charlotte Motor Speedway or Kansas.
Yeah, those would be two good picks. As I said earlier, you know, this 3-race stretch should be a very favorable schedule for Team Penske. And I definitely could see Team Penske taking it to Joe Gibbs Racing this weekend. I just do see JGR edging them out.
Yeah, I hear you. without a doubt, they certainly are strong. And as I say, it's really hard not to pick them. But I'm going to put the Penske guys out there as possibilities. Okay, so with that, what's on the news docket that you think we need to talk about, Kyle?
What is on the news docket? Well, I think Richard Petty Motorsports came out earlier this week and announced that they would stay with Ford. However, I don't think the driver has been locked in for next year for the number 9 car. I do think Eric Almirola is expected back in the 43, but, you know, silly season is fully underway with Clint Boyer going to H. Scott next year and Chase Elliott moving up to Hendrick and maybe a fourth Roush team. I'm not saying that's confirmed, but I'm just saying it's a possibility. But, you know, when it comes to the number of driver of the number 9, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Maybe it could be, you know, David Reagan returning to Ford. Maybe it could be Chris Buescher moving up and getting the nod. You know, Brett Moffitt. Who knows?
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see what happens there. It's kind of similar to the situation with Justin Allgaier. A lot of people seem to think that Justin Allgaier, now that it's been announced that Clint Busch is going to be going to that organization next season, a lot of people seem to think that Justin Allgaier may do well to go to the Nationwide Series and or Xfinity Series, I'm sorry, and compete there for a championship. There are all kinds of different possibilities, but I see Sam Hornish kind of in that same situation in the number 9 car. Hasn't necessarily gotten the best results this season, and now he's in a position where they've got other drivers that can move into those cars that are getting results. And you mentioned Chris Buescher is one of those drivers who is in contention for the championship in the Xfinity Series. So certainly something for fans to keep their eyes on as the silly season is definitely coming into full swing here.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned Justin Allgaier because I don't think Sam Hornish Jr. had any sponsorship with him coming into the number 9 car this year. However, I do think Justin Allgaier has Brandt as his sponsor. They were with him back when he was running in the Xfinity Series, then he moved up with him to the Sprint Cup Series. So if he is out at H. Scott Motorsports and Brandt is still with him, I think Richard Petty Motorsports would be a very good landing spot for him.
You know, that's a really interesting point, too, because he does bring sponsorship with him. Brandt has been a sponsor. I wrote an article about this a couple weeks ago. Justin Allgaier is from Illinois, Riverton, Illinois, very close to Springfield, Illinois, which is the home base for Brandt. And they have a very long-standing relationship, and I don't see that going away. I think that the fact that he can bring sponsorship with him is really huge and certainly works in his favor. And that's a good point that you know, it could mean that there's a spot waiting for him at RPM.
Well, certainly could happen. And, you know, with what he's done in the 51 car this year, you know, he's putting up decent results for a team that, you know, may not be a front runner. So that could be encouraging for RPM to possibly pick him up.
Absolutely. Now, also today, this afternoon, or I guess earlier this morning, at about 11:30 Eastern time, Kevin Harvick unveiled his Busch car for the Sprint Cup Series. He's Busch is back into the NASCAR ranks again. A lot of people, in fact, a lot of people still call the Nationwide Xfinity, the Busch Series. So going back to the days that Busch was the title sponsor for that level. But now they're coming up to the Sprint Cup Series as a sponsor for Kevin Harvick's number 4 car. So that was pretty interesting to see happen today.
Yep, still an Anheuser-Busch product, and the way I viewed it, it's kind of like what NBC is doing with their coverage. Well, NBC and Fox, what they're doing with their coverage, how they're moving some, you know, races to Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sports Network to get more viewers to those channels to, you know, have them compete with ESPN, which, you know, probably not going to happen. But, you know, it's probably Anheuser-Busch trying to get more, just trying to push more Busch products. You know, Budweiser, they've been, you know, I don't know if they've been the number one selling beer, it might have been Miller Lite, but they've been, you know, a top product for a while now. And maybe they're just trying to push another one of their Anheuser-Busch. That's a mouthful. Anheuser-Busch is probably just trying to get more into the market with another product.
Absolutely. And they know that NASCAR is a target group for them. So I think that was a very smart move. Also, Exalta, who has been on Jeff Gordon's car, will be going for a number of races over to Dale Jr.'s car and the number 88 for the 2016 season. I thought that was a kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I think 3M is still, you know, scheduled to be with Hendrick Motorsports next year. They just signed on with for the 24 car this year. So now we know where Exalta is going to go. For 2016, it's going to be interesting to see where 3M goes. They may go to 88. They may go to Chase Elliott's ride. Maybe Casey Kane. Who knows?
Yep. Well, we'll have to wait and find out for sure. And I'm sure we will find out, you know, as time goes on here. As many folks know, silly season gets pretty crazy between now and the start of the next season. A lot of these drivers, though, want to get things tied up as quickly as possible. The sooner, the better. but I think we'll continue to hear news on changes between teams and sponsors and so forth for the rest of this season.
Yeah, silly season doesn't just apply to, you know, drivers and teams. It also comes with sponsors and manufacturers.
Absolutely, and I think it's huge that RPM decided to stay with Ford and remain a part of that camp. As we know, Team Penske has been doing very well in the Fords, and Eric Almirola has had a good season this season and came close to making the chase. He didn't quite make it, but he's been a top contender as well. And then Rush Fenway has just struggled so much with the Ford cars, which is kind of surprising in a lot of ways, because when you think of Jack Roush and Ford, you think of them having that strong partnership. They're usually the top team in, with the Ford manufacturing.
Yeah, although I think as an overall organization, I think Rush Fenway, they've started to pick it up a little bit this year. Not in the Sprint Cup Series, but compared to where they were last year in the Xfinity Series, they definitely picked it up with Chris Busch now leading in the points. I think last year their top driver was Trevor Bayne, and I think he just barely got into the top five in points. So there's a turnaround for that team in the Xfinity Series, and the turnaround for the Sprint Cup Series is just waiting. 2017, perhaps. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Or 2016,
I should
say. And, you know, another thought that occurs, pardon me?
Nothing. I caught myself saying 2017, so I just asked, what year are we in again?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's, you, keeping up with this is sometimes a bit of a challenge. But, you know, another thought occurs to me, and I'm certainly not an insider. We're just speculating here. But, you know, another thought that could happen is when you think about drivers like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. or Trevor Bayne not really having banner years at Roush Fenway Racing, I could see maybe one of them going to RPM with Chris Buescher moving up to Roush Fenway, one of the Roush Fenway cars.
Yeah, I think there have been talks about possibly a fourth Roush Fenway car. And if that were the case, I could see, you know, Chris Buescher moving up to one of those rides. I do think Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Trevor Bayne are signed beyond 2015. So I couldn't imagine Jack Roush could just, you know, defer their contracts to Richard Petty Motorsports. So
okay.
I do think they'll be around.
No, go ahead and finish your stuff.
Driver of car 43 has been evaluated and released from the Infill Care Center.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is that as we've been saying, we do have Chris Knight with us from Charlotte Motor Speedway as we're talking here, and we're talking about some of the silly season moves, silly season moves that could happen here. Chris, and we were talking about the possibility of some Roush Fenway drivers going to RPM and Chris Buescher moving up to Roush Fenway. Your thoughts?
I was listening to what you guys were talking about as far as Richard Petty Motorsports was concerned. I think it's obviously a possibility. I don't know how warranted the possibility is. I mean, I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I saw Chris Buescher is doing the NASCAR. He's doing a NASCAR-based test at Michigan International Speedway in a couple weeks. So I just think it's going to be a wait-and-see game at this point. We just have to see how it all unravels. I mean, I think the RPM has made it well-known that they want a relatively young driver that they can, I think, help build that program in there. So I think, does it make sense to put somebody from the Roush Family Racing Camp in there, or does it make sense to build something long-term? I think we just have to wait and see. I mean, there's a lot of speculation in there, but I think time will tell. But I think when it's all said and done, I don't think many people will be surprised about what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I think you're right. And again, we're just speculating. We don't claim to have any inside information at all here.
I think the key thing in all this is when they announced earlier this week that they were remaining with Ford and it was a long-term contract. I think that just made put things in motion for things to happen. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think that everybody thinks, especially if Chris Buescher wins the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship, will he be ready for the next step? And I think he is. I think he proved that when he drove for Front Row Motorsports earlier this year, and he was actually out running the Roush Fenway cars at one point, especially at Auto Club Speedway that I can remember. So I think we'll just have to wait and see, but it'll be interesting to see who gets in that nine car, if they can pick up the performance, and then it'll be interesting to see if it was the Sam Horner thing or a crew chief thing or a combination of both or whatnot. So I think it's just an interesting topic and story and a situation that we're just going to have to stay on top of as best as we can.
It certainly has not completely unfolded yet, and I'm sure we will hear more. You are at Charlotte Motor Speedway. We saw Matt Kenseth take the pole, and so who are your favorites for this weekend, Chris?
I thought, you know, I think the JGR cars were strong. Obviously, Kyle Busch was strong in qualifying, but I think one of the surprises that I wasn't expecting to see was to see how fast Greg Biffle was in fourth.
So you think he's going to be a strong contender this weekend?
Okay. I think that you can't nothing you can rule out for Charlotte. But I think if you start up strong, I think you start up front, your odds of finishing up front in Saturday night's race are probably pretty high. But as we've noted throughout the day, the weather forecast continues to change for Saturday, and I think that's going to play a heavy indicator of who has the best handling car with the weather conditions as well.
That's a really good point. How is the weather outlook out there at Charlotte? And by the way, we do have Kyle Pokrzywski with us as well.
Today is fine, and I think tomorrow looks good. I think there's a chance of showers tomorrow, but I was talking to one of my colleagues here a little bit ago, and he said that the forecast continued to diminish for Saturday. So I think it's going to be a wait-and-see situation. Obviously, it rained last year before we got running here under the lights at Charlotte, so I think as much as we would like to see it be dry conditions, we'll just have to stay put and see what happens.
Okay. And we talked a little bit, too, about Kevin Harvick's announcement earlier today with his Busch sponsor. Did you get a chance to see the car and your thoughts there?
Yeah, the car looks fantastic. I was really impressed with the paint scheme that they had done. Obviously, Busch and Busch Light and the other special brands will be on Harvick's number 4 Chevrolet SS for 12 races next year beginning. No, I don't believe it includes they'll make the debut in the Sprint Unlimited at Daytona next year. But, you know, 12 races is obviously less than what we've seen with Budweiser this year. But I was told by a SHR spokesperson that Jimmy Johns will pick up the rest of those races for the 2016 season.
Okay. And do you have a favorite for the race this weekend? Who your race winner favorite?
It's hard to say. As much as you'd like to think that the Joe Gibbs Racing has this race in the bag, especially with them being 1-2 on the front row, I'm just not sure how you can defeat the momentum of Kevin Harvick right now.
Okay, so you think maybe Kevin Harvick is the guy to beat this weekend?
Yeah, he's starting 11th, so I think he's pretty disappointed with that qualifying effort that he started 11th. But we'll see what happens when we get to the green flag on Saturday night.
Okay. Any other news from the track that you want to make sure we share tonight?
Definitely not. I apologize. My Twitter's going off.
Oh, okay.
I saw that. I'm confused.
Do we want to clarify here?
Kyle?
Kyle, you want to clarify what's going on?
What's that? I'm trying to figure out what CCQQQG is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So,
we'll just call
okay,
it.
Okay, now I know Brian was talking about going out to the Winchester 400 this weekend. Have you decided if you're going to go?
No, I will not be making the trip, especially if weather's potentially looming in the area. I'm not going to make that trip to Winchester 400. I think Brian with you guys?
No, Brian was not able to call
okay.
in tonight. He let me know.
So that Winchester 400, obviously, I think that's going to be a pretty big event. I mean, I think you got Mason Mingus going to run that, Daniel Hammer going to run that, Ross Kenseth is going to run it. So you have some pretty big names with some NASCAR flavors that are going to be in the Winchester 400. Obviously, the late model race at Martinsville Speedway was rained out last weekend at Martinsville, so that'll be run on Sunday. So you have two prestigious late model races as a whole being run on Sunday.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm catching up with what's happening here on Twitter, so I'm kind of chuckling along with you guys. Okay, and then also this weekend at Stafford, there's going to be the Whelen Modifieds, or at Charlotte, there's going to be the Whelen Modifieds, right?
Yeah, they just got done. They just got done.
Okay.
I think George Brunholzl wound up with the victory. Ryan Preece finished second, and Andy Seiss wound up with the championship.
Okay, pretty cool. And was Newman in that race?
Not that he might have been, but let me see real quick. I'll take a look at the practice.
Yeah,
speeds.
See, sometimes when they're in town.
No, he was not entered. He was not. He was
okay.
not one of the drivers competing. They only had 18 modifieds here this weekend.
Oh wow, that's kind of surprising. Okay, so. We did talk about the Xfinity Series. I picked Daniel Suarez as a sleeper. I think who was your pick, Kyle, for the sleeper?
For the sleeper, I actually had Chase Elliott as a sleeper.
That's right. And we want to know your thoughts about the Xfinity series this weekend.
Yeah, I think the main thing is with the Xfinity series, most of their practice was taken during the day. Obviously, the final practice session happened closer to when the sun was going to set. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens and who can, you know, obviously everybody knows that Charlotte is such a weather-sensitive track, so the best team and driver that's able to adjust their car. A hands-on favorite, you have to look at Kyle Busch. He's obviously one of the favorites every time he comes to run at Charlotte. I think he hasn't finished outside the top five in his last eight NASCAR Xfinity Series races. But you also have someone like Eric Jones in this race. Casey Kane was very fast in a junior motorsports car. And Ryan Preece has actually just sat in with me, guys. So if you guys want to take over, and I'll be back with you guys here in a second.
Okay, sure. Okay, so I guess Ryan Preece is in the media center there, and that's why Chris is stepping aside here for a few minutes while they do the interviews with Ryan. Ryan Preece is a name that we've seen racing a few of these NASCAR races in the Xfinity Series. Your thoughts about Ryan Preece, Kyle?
Yeah, he's definitely been a standout in the modifieds, and you know, modifieds, they don't run with any fenders, but as we've seen, he's started to dip his toes into, you know, the full fendered cars. We've seen him make some Xfinity Series starts. We've seen him make his Cup debut just recently. Might just be time until he makes the full time jump over to, you know, the full bodied fendered cars.
Exactly. So I think what he does this weekend is certainly going to be interesting to see. Also, let me just mention, there's a couple of next week's show on Monday night. We have a couple of guests already lined up. Mason Mitchell is a name that's well known in the ARCA Racing Series. He was last year's champion. He's fielding his own team this season with Austin Wayne Self. And he is going to be on with us this coming Monday night at 8:40 p.m. And then at 9 p.m., we actually have Ryan Reed, who races in the Xfinity Series, but he's going to be racing for Lyra Motorsports in the ARCA Racing Series at Kansas, and that is their finale in the ARCA Racing Series. You may recall the last time Ryan drove for Lyra Motorsports, in the ARCA Racing Series, he won at Dover. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does in the finale with them not this weekend, but next weekend on Friday the 16th of October. Any thoughts there?
Ryan Reed's been 2-for-2 in the ARCA Racing Series thus far. He just dominated at Chicagoland in June, and actually it was at Kentucky where he picked up his second in one of the year, but he grabbed the lead after the leader fell out with about, 20 to 25 laps to go. So he's proven that he's not entirely invincible in the ARCA Racing Series, but it should be another stacked entry list for Kansas. And I fully expect him to be one of the favorites yet again for the season finale.
Yeah, and, Grant Enfinger is certainly leading the points, so I don't think we're going to see any surprises there. Josh Williams is currently in second. I know he probably wants to finish out the season strong out there at Kansas as well.
Yep, the battle now is for second in points, and all Grant has to do at Kansas is to just start the race, and he has essentially clinched the championship. But in second, we do have Josh Williams, and just behind him is Austin Wayne Self, driving that Mason Mitchell Motorsports entry. He is 60 points behind Josh Williams, and there's also Tom Hessert sitting fourth in the standings. He is 115 points out of second. So while the battle for the Drivers' Championship is pretty much all said and done, we also have the battle for second in the point standings. We have the battle for the Owners' Championship between GMS Racing, Cunningham Motorsports, and Venturini Motorsports. That's still fully on. And we also have the Scott Rookie of the Year Challenge. And that's a tight contest between both Cunningham Motorsports' Kyle Weatherman and Lear Motorsports' David Levine.
Yeah, so it's and Lyra is running their four cars again at Kansas, the season finale as well.
Yeah, and I was joking about this with Chris at Kentucky, how I was manning the fourth turn Twitter account. I accidentally tweeted, hey, you know, Ryan Reed took the lead of the race, but it turns out it was another Lyra Motorsports car that was, you know, I guess ahead of the field. And I was joking with Chris, I'm like, I really need, you know, color code this stuff, because, you know, it's like four identical cars, but all that's different is, you know, the colors of the numbers on the side panels. So
yeah.
I came up with a cheat sheet. I should be good once I watch the race on Friday.
Sounds good. I'm not sure if Chris is going to be able to make it back or not, but I'm reading the Twitter line here, and it looks like Ryan Preece is, and Chris is there in the media center. He just tweeted that he confirms that he will be running the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race at Homestead, Miami in November. So look for Ryan Preece to be back behind the wheel of a Sprint Cup Series car.
Yeah, and I forgot who he ran with. I think he made his debut at New Hampshire. I think it may have been a Premium Motorsports, but it was a joint deal with Tommy Baldwin Racing. I think
yeah,
that's
I believe
what happened.
You're right.
Yeah,
I
and that was
that
able to. Yeah, I think that's it. And with that, you know, joint partnership, he was able to run better than, you know, how Premium usually fares. So I'll just wait to see if what Chris writes, but I expect him to, you know, be racing that car. And like I said, you know, transition may be coming soon.
Stay tuned for silly season, as we were talking about earlier. There certainly is a lot yet to be told there. And with the season finale and the ARCA Racing Series, we talked about that too. That's coming up next week, Friday night, October the 16th. They will have their season finale, and that should be on Fox Sports 2, by the way, at about 7:45. I'm trying to see if that's Eastern. I believe that's Eastern time on October the 16th. So a lot to talk about, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit to Mason about that when he is on the show this Monday night as well. And if Ryan Reed wins, I think we've had him booked for a few weeks now. I think that'll be really interesting if he wins, and we can talk to him about that. Well, he won't. He's going into the race, so that won't happen.
Oh yeah. Well, if you talk to him,
he is the defending winner.
If he wins at Kansas, you know, after you guys talk to him on Monday, this is going to become, you know, the hottest show to be on for the rest of the season. So, I mean, you're going to have, like, you know, Kansas World Truck Series guys, you're going to have Xfinity Series guys falling over themselves just to try to get on the show. And they're like, hey, get on here, you're going to win.
There you go. I like that thinking. But yeah, I think it would be great if we can talk to the potential race winner. He certainly has been very strong at these tracks, and there's a reason why Lyra Motorsports is putting him behind the wheel at some of these tracks. It's because he's so darn good in these cars. And like you mentioned, he actually has two previous wins with them that he's driven for them. And this is going to be his third time behind the wheel. And it would not surprise me if he is not the race winner. It would not surprise me if he does win this weekend. So, or this next weekend. So that's something for fans to kind of be aware that is on the horizon here as well. I keep looking to see if Chris is calling back in. I don't think we will be hearing from him. I think we did break the news that just took place there at Charlotte Motor Speedway as it is. Now, let's talk about your plans for the weekend, Kyle.
Originally, I wanted to go to Winchester, but I have my cousin's wedding I'm trying to get up to in Michigan on Saturday. So I'll be up there on Saturday, and then I got to drive back down on Sunday morning to go back to work. So technically this is my weekend right now. I mean, my weekend this week is Thursday, Friday. Then I'm going to get Saturday off, and then really, I'm just kicking back and relaxing. There's a new Star Wars video game that's out, so I'm playing that.
Oh, very cool. Now, you're also scheduled to be on our next Thursday night show as well, right?
Yep, I'll be there. My Thursday is wide open.
Okay, so we'll look forward to having Kyle with us a week from tonight for the NASCAR weekend preview, and we'll be previewing all of the races that will be taking place at Kansas Speedway, including the ARCA, the Xfinity Series, excuse me, and the Sprint Cup Series. And then also keep in mind that the K&N West is racing. They are going to be racing at All-American Speedway, and I believe the replay is, they'll be racing on the 17th at All-American Speedway in the West, and they have only two races left in their season to determine their champion, and there's only a few points separating those drivers. So I don't think we're going to know who the champion is until they finish at Phoenix.
Yeah, we've got, you know, top four drivers, Noah Gragson, Chris Eggleston, Brian Partridge, Grayson Raz. They're all within 16 points of each other, with the top three drivers within 8 points of each other. So it really won't be settled until the very last lap at Phoenix.
And that race, of course, is the same weekend that the Sprint Cup Series drivers are there in November. So that will be the weekend of the 12th that they will be racing. So just something for fans to be aware of and to keep your eyes and ears in focus for as we come up to those races as well. I would say the people to follow this weekend then on Twitter, on social media, are Chris Knight at Knighter01 and Brian Eberle, who will be at the Winchester 400. He's going to be keeping track of what's going on at the track over the weekend there. So he is at BEberle18, and those are definitely two big follows for this weekend.
If you're interested in fish, I might be going to the Shedd Aquarium tomorrow. So if you want to see fish pictures, follow Kay Pokreski on Twitter.
Okay, and thank you, Kyle. I was going to get to that. As far as your Twitter handle and how fans can follow you, you are on Twitter, but you're also on Facebook?
I don't have a public Facebook page, no.
Oh, okay.
I do have Instagram, though. That's also Kay Pokreski. That's probably where you're going to see the fish pictures.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to keep our eyes.
I might also periscope the fish. Who knows?
I tell you what, the Shedd Aquarium is really a cool, cool place and a lot of fun. If you're ever in the Chicagoland area, I would highly recommend it as a must-see exhibit while you're in town. And I'd be interested in hearing about your visit out there, Kyle.
Yeah, it should be fun. I might try doing a triple, actually. We'll see if I do the planetarium, field museum, and Shedd Aquarium in one day. My legs will be, you know, wanting to kill me afterwards, but it's totally worth it.
It's totally worth it. And they have made it so much easier on folks because now it's all part of the one campus. And easy to get to all three locations. So very, very good. Okay, we are winding down here. I'm okay if we go ahead and end the show a little bit early, considering that we've kind of talked out our preview here. Is there anything that we missed that we need to talk about before we close out the show?
I think we're good. We covered the Winchester 400. I was actually trying to figure out when the All-American 400 is, and that's actually next week, so we could touch on that next week.
We certainly will. We'll talk about that next Thursday night right here at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Kyle will be a part of our group, and I'm hoping Brian will be able to join us that night as well. And depending on what is on Chris Knight's schedule, I'm hoping he'll be able to pop in and give us an update as well. So we will certainly let you know as we get closer to that. So, Kyle, I want to thank you very much for being here tonight. I really enjoyed talking some NASCAR with you and previewing these upcoming races.
Yeah, thanks for the invite again.
Well, you bring some good information to the show, and I really appreciate your perspective. So I look forward to chatting with you again next Thursday night. That's October the 15th. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and close out the show just a little bit early here tonight. And Kyle, I wish you the best over the weekend in your travels. Have some safe travels as you go to your wedding and return. And I know you'll be tuning into the racing in between your museum visits.
I'll try figuring out a way. We'll see.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Kyle. And have fun this weekend, okay?
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Take care now.
You too.